especially that Fattle family in Nova Scotia. Love you much. And everywhere. My family, my other family, Long Beach, and New York, and wherever you are, folks. Hey, meanwhile, can you see that smile on my face? That's because Arts Live and Local makes me happy, and that's because the arts make me happy. And so we always start with a party here. I mean, my guests are here, and we're already making jokes and laughing. So you ought to be sure to tune in and join in and support your local art scene and radio station. This month, it ain't difficult. There is so much going on, as I'm sure many of you know. I ran out of room on my paper for Friday and Saturday and even Sunday. And so I hope you all are able to get out and enjoy life. It is time for Arts Live and Local. Well, today is December 4th, Friday, December 4th. And in a couple of days, on December 6th in the evening, it's actually the 25th day of Kislev, but go figure. Many people all over the world start lighting the first of 8 lights to let the light grow, to let the hope grow. And it's the holiday of Hanukkah, the Jewish festival of lights. So I wish you all a happy holiday, whatever holiday you celebrate. Personally, I think it behooves us to celebrate as many holidays as we can and celebrate each other. Thanks for being here, folks, right here on Coast Community Radio. We could go on with some of this fabulous music, but we're going to move on to our fabulous guests instead. And with me in the studio, I have one person who's extremely familiar to you because he's one of our favored writers and poets and personalities in this area. And he's also been on KMUN. He's also an avid listener. He calls in on people's shows and gives them an attagirl or attaboy. And that's what we do around here. So Bob Pyle is here with me. Excuse me, Robert Michael Pyle for this purpose, because, well, I'll tell you why he's here.
Always
some
Bob
of you
to
already
you here.
Exactly, and to most of our local listening audience. So the exciting part is that his ancient book from 30 years ago, Wintergreen, has been republished. And my other guest, is this your first time in Coast Community Radio?
This is my very first time on the radio, period.
Oh, my God, folks, we have a radio virgin right here in the studio. We have a radio virgin. So Harry Kirshner is here. He is the publisher of this gorgeous new book, and this is the Pharos Editions. Is that
That's
how
correct.
Am I pronouncing
yes.
it correctly? Wonderful. And it's an imprint of Counterpoint Press. I don't exactly know what that means, but I'm sure you can tell me. And also, how this came to be. How long has this book been, has it been out of print, Bob?
Well, first, Carol, let me say happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you.
And thanks for having us back. It's about my 10,000th time
yeah, exactly.
here. I'm not a radio virgin.
No.
In fact, I read from this book on KMUN when it was in the Gunderson building on Commercial.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how far back that book goes.
Okay.
And it's yeah. been since then. It's been in five different editions. This is the fifth, the latest. And I'd like for Harry Kirshner to tell you how that came about.
Excellent. Tell
well,
us.
The Pharos Editions, an imprint, were published with Counterpoint Press from Berkeley, California. And all of the books that are published under the imprint are all reissues of either out-of-print books or books that have largely going out of circulation. So they may still be in print, but you can't find them in your local store because the publisher is not keeping them in stock for mm-hmm. one reason or another. And the way we select the titles is that we reach out to writers who are actively, whose books are maybe more actively selling or who have recently had a book that was a big hit. And we ask them to recommend a favorite book of theirs that's out of print,
oh,
out of circulation,
nice. Wait,
and then to select it and do an introduction for
now,
it.
Now, can they be older writers, younger writers,
anyone who answers my email asking if they would like to participate.
So you choose particular people and
invite
them. We
choose particular people and we invite them, and then they do the selections of the book. So they are, in a sense, our editorial staff.
Wow, that's very trusting of you. You
well, we've worked with some fabulous writers, and so, yeah, the whole idea is that they would bring the audience from their books to help rediscovery
nice.
Of these books that deserve to be more actively in print.
So who is this gentleman, David Gooderson?
So David Gooderson is the author of a number of books, but probably most famous is Snow Falling on Cedars.
Oh, Him, of course.
Yes.
Oh, we love that.
Yes.
I did not recognize his name, but the book was fabulous.
The book is fabulous,
of
and
course.
He is a fabulous writer and also happens to be a good friend of Bob's.
Wow. How old the guy is he? Isn't he?
He's, I would, 50-ish.
Okay.
If that.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. He's a younger mm-hmm.
David, if you're listening and we overstated your age, please
somewhere
set my
between
apology.
30 and 50.
Somewhere
we'll
between 30 and 50, yes. That,
okay, there we go.
That we know for a
we're
fact.
We're safe, yeah.
Yes.
So you approached him and asked him, and you leave it completely open, or do you ask him
I leave it completely open, and then the only real, we do review the selections once they're made and make sure that they're suitable for the list, whatever suitable may mean. Also, whether or not we can get the rights.
Oh,
and in this case, Robert's book was actually not out of print. Mm-hmm. It was existing in this world that we call out of stock indefinitely.
Oh, it's a kind of limbo.
It's way limbo.
That's
the
bad.
Last edition was Sasquatch Press in Seattle, and they did a lovely job of it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they stopped making it available, and it was very frustrating.
I would think
that's
so.
That's when you call in the New York agent. That's what they're really good for.
and so we worked with Bob's agent and the publisher, and they were very gracious about it.
They were very gracious.
Why would they say no?
To me for reprinting or Bob to keep it in print? The reasons for saying no would be reasons of vanity, an unwillingness to admit that you had done something wrong. Perhaps the other thing would be as long as a book is maintained in print, the publisher controls the intellectual property.
So if my star were still rising and they thought that there might be a time when it was profitable for them to bring it out again, they might want to sit on the rights. In fact, Simon & Schuster, the book was originally published by Scribner in 1986, which was then swallowed up by Macmillan, at which point they swallowed a lot of smaller publishers for the backlist. They wanted Fitzgerald and Hemingway. They didn't want me, even though I'd won 3 awards for the book that year and was wined and dined at Scribner. All of a sudden, the hardback edition was shredded by Macmillan and went out on the garbage barge.
Oh, my God.
Off the East River. And so, happily, Houghton Mifflin hadn't bought the paperback rights, but had licensed them. So Houghton Mifflin kept it in print for 2 editions through a number of years. But when it went out of print with Houghton Mifflin, just because the sales dropped below their level, they felt they could maintain it, they didn't own the rights. Scribner still did, which was now owned by Simon & Schuster. Scribner was a coat closet in the corner of Simon & Schuster, which was a coat closet in the corner of Paramount, which was a coat closet in the corner of Viacom.
You know, this.
So we had to try to get the rights back from Viacom. And that was harder than this. And the same agent got us through that, too. So Sasquatch in Seattle was far more gentlemanly, gentlewomanly about it.
Well, with a name like Sasquatch and you being the Bigfoot guy,
That's the bizarre thing. I don't know why they didn't keep the book available, because they really wanted my Bigfoot book when it came out of print, which it is now. And guess what? I'm probably not going to go with them because they
But the happy thing is that we got to do it. That here we are.
Let me just say, Carol, in the same vein, there's a little history there with David Gooderson, because he and I had taught together at the Port Townsend Writers Conference years ago, made friends and stayed friends, and had funny little connections over the making of the movie Snow Falling on Cedars in Whatcom County. You know, much of it was filmed in our county. And I had connections with the movie in several different funny ways. So David and I have been friends. But years ago, he was asked by the Post Intelligencer, along with Sherman Alexie and Tom Robbins and big timers like that, to name their top Northwest books. And David, way back then, probably 15 years ago or more, selected Wintergreen on his list, which made my day, month, year, life.
Sure.
And, of course, helped the book and helped me and my confidence. And so him bringing it to the series here does have a background to it.
And folks, some of you are going to say, wait, let's get to the book. And that's fair. But I think it's fascinating to see how much perseverance and support and interest you really have to have in order to keep something like this alive. It's like in the music world where the artists sometimes are at the bottom of the pile. And
so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, no, did I say that?
Yeah, but when you take my name in vain that way, that works out okay. Just watch out how you use it in certain contexts.
Let me reintroduce my guests. Robert Michael Pyle at the top of the pile and Harry Kirschner, who has just published his wonderful book, Wintergreen Rambles in a Ravaged Land.
30-year anniversary edition.
30 years, and beautiful. I'm holding it in my hand, and it feels good. It looks good. You know what I did? I cheated a little bit, because I had read the book but a long time ago. I cheated a little. I read some of David's, but I didn't. Somehow or other, I didn't realize who he was.
Yeah, that should be mentioned, that David Gooderson, each time the person who selected the book, also writes an introduction for the
book. Introduction. But then what I really, as a local especially, found interesting was your afterword.
Right.
Willapa Since Wintergreen. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading this thing going, Holy cow, Bob, I didn't realize you were so on top of all the little details. And I need to tell you, for those of you who may not know Robert Michael Pyle, he's a naturalist, scientist, beer drinker. He's a lot of things and has taken tours, has written how many books?
20. I have two coming out next year, and that'll make it 20.
There you go. And is highly acclaimed. But he also is a very good friend of many of ours locally. So what's in here, in addition to your wonderful prose, is also the details of what's gone on here in the political fight with oysters and with pesticides and all
LNG.
LNG. It's fantastic that I'm telling you folks, whether or not you have a copy of Wintergreen, you need to get this copy because you've got a whole nother edition and it's a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Carol. I want to, I'm glad you mentioned the afterword because the several people have asked me how much I changed the text. Almost none, except for fixing some typos. When the book is scanned, we had to scan the Houghton Mifflin one to put it into the...
Harry's laughing.
Yes. Into digital format for... And when that happens, errors are introduced. So a very funny one came in. There was a line that said, a gray day in Gray's River, which is, you can imagine, is a pretty frequent thing. And
yes.
But in the scanned edition, it came out payday in Gray's River, which is not only wildly wrong, but also a total oxymoron. They never occur.
Way less frequent than a gray day.
Way less frequent than a gray day. And so I did.
Hilarious.
We proofed it very carefully and fixed a couple more typos. Otherwise, the text is as it was in the 1986 edition.
Nice.
The new things in the book are David's introduction, which, by the way, I think is very incisive and thoughtful and is... very much caused me to think about how I view the book. He paid a great deal of attention. He even read a number of my other books before writing that. Mm-hmm. Again, he'd reread them. So he went far beyond the call of duty for this great honor. But the other thing is that afterward, and I worked awfully hard on that and tried to bring so many things that are touched on in the book and are not touched in the book up to date.
And Harry... how has it been for you working? Were you familiar with this book before?
I was familiar with the book before. Bob has a college friend, a dorm mate, Joe Kane. And Joe Kane and I started out in the book business at about the same time. And we were book travelers, as they called us then.
What is that?
We drove around the Northwest selling books to bookstores.
Oh, okay.
And every year, there is a convention called the PNBA Book Convention, Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association. And it's a trade organization. All the booksellers come, and the publishers' reps are there.
Publishers' rep is another name for the
book traveler. And
like
Joe
book
said,
traveler.
You got to meet this guy, Bob Pyle. I went to school with this guy. He's got this great new book out called Wintergreen, Joe gave me a copy of it. And then I met Bob there. Read the book, love the book, but there are a lot of books come through my life and onto my shelves, and it was really just an incredible, wonderful coincidence that David would select it and bring it all back in again.
Wonderful.
It's a beautiful circularity to it. Joe is a dear friend, and by the way, we were in the dorm together 50 years ago
at
the UW, and Joe was already collecting books, and he wanted to be a rep for Penguin, and he did become that eventually, a part of his career.
Yeah, that's right.
So to have these two consummate bookmen come together with one of my favorite authors and favorite people, David Gooderson, and then to have the honor of being published. You should look, Carol, sometime in the back about the books that Harry has brought back into print.
Oh,
remarkable.
Yes,
remarkable titles.
Right.
That's a great honor. But then also to be represented by, to be a part of the larger Counterpoint community. Counterpoint, founded by Jack Shoemaker, is Gary Snyder's publisher and Wendell Berry's publisher. So it's good company I'm in, and I feel extraordinarily gifted.
Lovely, lovely. Well, for those people who aren't familiar with the book and would like to hear a little, can you read us a little bit?
Yes, let me just say this.
Too much time, yeah.
The book deals with a lot of different aspects of life, human and the other species, in the Maritime Northwest, centered on the Willapa Hills, but that's just the mirror image of the Oregon Coast Range. I call it all Greater Willapa, of course.
I know a few other people who do, too.
So I hope the book is equally applicable on this side of the river. But there's a lot about the people. There's a lot about the logging economy, which has been very intense over there because there was no national forest. So it was logged early and logged often, like Chicago voting. And and the book is about falling in love with the land after great damage has been done, hence the subtitle, Rambles in a Ravaged Land. But it's not a downer, it's not negative, and it's certainly not an anti-logging book. It's about how we're all part of the fiber economy. And Barry Lopez calls our says that our books are made from the flesh of the trees, and they certainly are. So it's about using and living with the forests well. It's not anti-logging, but it's anti-certain logging practices.
And, and levels.
Yes.
It's not against the people. It may be.
It's absolutely for the people.
Taking issue with the groups that run the show around here, but
It's pro. And by the way, I come out of two forestry schools, and that'd be pretty hypocritical, be anti. Like, no, it's for the kind of forest stewardship that takes care of the woods and the people of the woods.
Exactly.
And, yes, and I live in
which
one of
needs
those
to be done
communities of people of the woods in Grays River.
Where are you reading?
But
from?
The part I'm going to read is on page 136 in an earlier edition. I'm not sure it's the same page number in that. And this is not about logging. This is from a chapter called Waterproof Wildlife, because a lot of the book is about rain and moss and ferns and slugs and living with much rain. And so this little passage is seasonal. It's for the holidays and the winter revels. But it's also about both the rain and the sun, which we've had today in abundance of
right now.
This vision happened in September 1985 as Tia and I drove eastward along the Columbia River. Just before the Wakayakum County line, I spotted two large birds spread-eagled in a snag, stopped, and went back. Actually, there were five big birds in the snag, and they were spread-vultured. The odd bird stood in the very top of the tall dead tree. Beneath it, two more turkey vultures perched side by side on spindly branches alongside the trunk, and beneath them another pair. Each bird held its 6-foot wings outstretched entirely, much more erect and rigid than cormorants in a similar posture. As cormorants do, the vultures were drying out their wings and absorbing the warmth of the sun through their black feather cloaks. It had rained for days and nights and days, and I can imagine the scavenging great birds were thoroughly sodden, as well as totally fed up. Arrayed as they were, symmetrical and steaming in the early beams, the pyramid of vultures resembled ornaments for some macabre anti-Christmas tree. All gray and black, no greenery, no color at all, save the birds' lurid red faces. This pastiche could have seemed Stygian and bleak. But all that is flimsy fantasy. Far from sinister, this magnificent fivesome displayed all the bright cheer of those who feel the sunshine on their backs after chilling to the rain on their heads for a long, cold time. In the spread of their great wings, they embraced the sun for all of us. And that's fancy, too, but I prefer such a view. The rain fell. The wet birds huddled. The sun came. They spread their wings and grew warm and dry. Before we left, the clouds closed, and one by one, the vultures folded their wings again, reluctantly, it seemed. Last of all, the bird in the angel's position atop the tree drew in its broad black veins, and then the rain began to fall.
Lovely, lovely. Robert Michael Pyle, author of Wintergreen, Rambles in a Ravaged Land, the 30th anniversary edition has just been published by Pharos Editions of Seattle, an imprint of Counterpoint Press, and the publisher, Harry Kirshner, is here with us and will be. Folks, we forgot to tell them. Tonight. This isn't just a party we're having here. They're in town because tonight at 7:30 at the Astoria Library, you will have the opportunity to hear Bob read, meet Harry, buy the book, and ask lots of questions or whatever else you might have to do. Thank you so much for coming.
Carol, thank you. Let me just say that Harry and I will also be having something of a conversation on stage the book, which David Gooderson and I were able to do on a couple of earlier events.
Nice.
And may I also say that if people can't come tonight or if they want more, I'll also be reading and signing this coming Wednesday, the 9th, at 6 p.m. at the Nacelle Timberland Library. And on Saturday, the 13th, at Time Enough Books in Ilwaco at 2 p.m.
I'm going to write that down. I'll get you to write that down so I'll be able to announce it. And Harry, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. No longer a radio virgin.
No longer a radio
virgin. Thank you so much for coming from
Thank
Seattle.
You so much for
thanks
having
for
us.
Thanks for publishing the book, and thanks for doing this, where you this whole system that you described. I love it.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. Keep it alive.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Carol.
Oh, wow. I'm just smiling ear to ear. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of Handel's Judas Maccabeus, an oratorio to follow this wonderful presentation we just had, and to precede the Astoria Music Festival. Thanks for being here, folks. This is Coast Community Radio. Well, the exciting music you're listening to should be exciting, and it is exciting. It's Handel's Judas Maccabeus, and again, that is one of the two oratorio that is famous for this time of the year, only most people never heard of this one, which is unfortunate because it's quite beautiful. And we've been listening to the overture, and I'm going to bring it down because I am delighted to have as my next guest Dwight Caswell. Hi, Dwight.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I played that because I thought it would be appropriate for what you're going to be talking about.
Music festival?
The Astoria Music Festival. Yeah, let's have a little classical music here. So several people have already said, yes, the Astoria Music Festival, yeah. Let's start talking. So, Dwight, what is your position with the Astoria Music Festival?
Well, I'm the new board president. I was on the board for about 4 years previous, and I was asked to come back on as the board president.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you for doing that. That's terrific.
I don't know exactly how it happened. I got listed as temporary president, and somehow the temporary disappeared.
Got dropped off. Yes, we know how that goes in volunteer organizations.
So. I think I may have left the room for a few minutes or something.
Dwight Caswell is a professional photographer and writer, and you can often find his work in the Coast Weekend, actually, and in many other places, including some stunning books that he has done of his photographs and shown them.
Oh, thank you.
But are you a musician?
No, I have no musical talent whatsoever.
You're an appreciator.
I have occasionally sung in chorales, but I always sing the bass line because it's harder to go wrong. Fewer notes.
Them's fighting words. I don't know. So tell us, the music festival is at the end of May, is that right?
It's in June.
In June, okay.
And this year, eventually I want to talk about something a little more immediate.
Absolutely.
Because on the 13th we have
I know, we're going to talk about that. But first, I just want to set this one up.
In fact, on the 13th, if you're at our little event, you'll get a chance to ask Keith Clark and some of the other board members what's being planned for next year. But part of the reason for having that event is to find out what people want to hear.
Good. So Keith will be at the gathering. Okay, well then let's go to the gathering, but let's make sure folks know, because some people were wondering, are we on? And we want to assure people that the Astoria Music Festival is alive and well and happening in June 2016 right here in Astoria.
Hence the name, right?
Hence the name, yes.
Well, I should tell you what the program obviously is still in flux, but it looks like the main opera we're doing this year is Lulu.
Really?
Which the Met just did a broadcast of. And Alban Berg, same guy who wrote Valzac. Lulu is arguably the best opera written in the 20th century. Now one of the board members did, a couple of board members said, is this appropriate because there's sex, violence? Well, that's true in most operas, I think. But this one also has nudity in it. And was Astoria ready for sex, violence, and nudity in an opera? And I said, I thought we could probably handle that.
And are the opera singers ready for it too?
Well, there's only one opera singer who's actually in the nude at one point.
So we won't worry about that. Although if that brings more people in, that's okay too. But the bottom line is good music.
Well, I think
and
we're
who,
gonna put
who
a
wrote
disclaimer.
It?
Alban Berg, B-E-R-G.
Oh yes. Yeah. Okay. And you said that's the same guy who did Wojcik?
Yeah.
That was an extraordinary production.
I had the advantage because I photographed it. I photographed all the rehearsals. And by the time I got to the performance, I understood the music.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's difficult music.
Oh,
but I thought it was a great production.
Absolutely. And I've never seen it before or since, and I probably won't. But this production was extraordinary, I thought, at the Liberty Theater. So, speaking of extraordinary, I love this. You're having the Astoria Music Festival is hosting a Christmas party and lutefisk challenge. Now, for full disclosure, I will say that I am a fully enrolled member of the Kalevala Finnish Brotherhood and Sisterhood of Astoria. And so,
you must be a fan of Ludafisk.
So I have heard all these terrible things people said about Ludafisk for years, and I thought, no, couldn't be. Last year, I came for the, it's just about a year ago because it's happening again this weekend. I came to the Ludafisk dinner, and as soon as I entered the building at Suomi Hall, I knew something was going to be a problem because, for me, there was quite a an odor.
Yep.
By the time I got my food, and I did have the lutefisk, and I ate the whole thing.
I'm very proud of you.
I am too. However, I will never indulge in that again. But I encourage people, before they talk about something, to try it. And so now I can talk about it, because I did. So you are having a lutefisk challenge. Are you really going to have lutefisk at this at this party?
Well, you know, I'm of Scottish descent, and for us it's haggis. So I think if I can manage haggis, I can manage
lutefisk. Is haggis the same kind of thing?
No, but it's
oh, I see.
It's all these national dishes are composed of, they're poor people's food. It's
gefilte
food that nobody
fish,
else
right.
would eat.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what's in a haggis.
No, I don't, actually. Okay, so it's a Christmas gathering, an informal gathering, you've said. What's going to happen? This is December 13th at 4 p.m. at the Carruthers Building, which is right kitty-corner from the Liberty.
It's the old Clementi's location.
Yeah, for local people. It's 12th and Commercial. What are you going to be doing?
Well, let's see. We've got quite a display of food. It's going to be international. We've got Greek, Lebanese, Italian, Chinese. We'll have a bar. There'll be wine and beer. And so it's going to have a lot of that. Keith is going to lead us in Christmas carols. So if you want a carol with a great conductor, this would be a good opportunity.
We're not going to tell you how much this costs, folks, but it's very reasonable. I can tell you that.
No, go ahead and tell them.
No, we don't do prices.
We don't do that.
No,
well,
we're
not supposed
to. Well,
I will say you get a dollar off if you eat the lutefisk.
Yes, and it isn't worth it, folks. no, it's a very reasonable entrance fee, and it's supporting the Astoria Music Festival.
You bet,
So what could be better? You might even want to double it. Okay, so singing with Keith Clark, who I have actually sung with him as part of the North Coast Chorale.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite the energetic conductor.
Yeah.
And then will somebody be talking about, you said you're going to be
I'll probably have asking, a few words to say, mm-hmm. and Keith will probably have more than a few words to say.
Generally does, yeah.
He'll talk about what he's got in mind for this coming year. But again, I will have the whole board will be there, and we're there to listen to everybody else. Because we really want to build a stronger festival and make it, it's an Astorian festival, and we want people from Astoria to be involved, even if it's only to comment, to say, well, you should have done this, or we'd like to see that.
So if people can't come right at 4 o'clock, are you going to be there for a while?
A couple hours.
A couple of hours.
4 to 6.
Okay, 4 to 6.
And we'll have some music, of course. Being a music festival, we have music.
Of course, yes. Okay. So that is this, not this Sunday, but a week from Sunday, on the 13th. Is there any, do people have to buy tickets in advance?
Yeah, there'll be tickets at the door.
At the door.
You can call the office. Now, there isn't a person there this time of year all the time. But you can leave a message, and we'll get back to you. And the number is 503-325-9896.
Okay, 9896. Okay.
And there'll be all this information that's in a press release that'll be in the Coast Weekend
next week.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so put that on your calendar for the 13th. And there is a lot going on. So actually, I think right across the street is that the day of the concert that's going on also?
We actually scheduled it, so we're right after
perfect.
The concert.
North Coast Symphonic Band at 2, and then
you can just wander right down.
Come right across the street.
And,
it's at the PAC, right.
Yeah, and then just come down the hill, and there you go.
Okay. Yeah. North Coast Symphonic Band isn't at the PAC. They're at the Liberty.
No, that's...
It's the North Coast Chorale. That's who it is, yeah. Of course. I told you there's just too much going on.
And the Liberty, you just have to go across the street.
So my brain is fattled.
So everybody who's at those events can still have a good time at our event.
Right.
And if they want to temper all those that good time, they can have a little lutefisk.
No, it's the North Coast Chorale is on Sunday. Okay. Now, you mentioned that you wanted to say a word about... Lindsay Straw, so I'm going to just put this music on for a minute, and then Dwight's going to tell us who this wonderful young musician is.
Seems you've withered and forsaken sport. The snow is higher along the port. Your mouth malfeasts and your inlet's gold. Your weary Kenny and the end is cold.
Well, Dwight, Lindsay Straw.
Yeah, she's a young talent, but as you can tell, quite an accomplished one. She's out of Boston.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful Celtic music, not always completely traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But just a delightful person, and she's going to be at the Shelburne Inn.
In Seaview.
It's
that's tomorrow soon. Then. Saturday the 5th. That
Saturday
is tomorrow.
Saturday the 5th from 6 to 9.
Oh, 6 to 9. Okay, yeah. I had 7, so let's change that around. 6 to 9. I'll tell you what.
It is 6 to 9, yes.
Okay, and the other thing is she may, if we're lucky, be on Lloyd Bowler's Celtic Air right here on Coast Community Radio. So there is a lot happening on the peninsula that night. My next guest is going to be another wonderful young musician who does some Celtic, and so you might be able to catch both of them if you're lucky.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
That's Lindsay Straw, and stay tuned tomorrow afternoon to Coast Community Radio. So Dwight, one last reminder, the 12th December 13th, that's Sunday, December 13th, Sunday, is the Astoria Music Festival kickoff.
Yeah, holiday
party.
So it's just a party.
It's a party and a lutefisk challenge. That's the scary part. Okay. And congratulations to you for stepping up to the plate. Oh, I should say thank you. Gratitude to you. I don't know about the congratulations. No, we really do. It's wonderful. Keep these fantastic traditions going. As a matter of fact, I want to give a shout out right now to the other festival that happens around that time at the end of May and the beginning of June. I want to give a Yasha Koach and a Rifuash Lema to Mark Josephs from the Tenor Guitar Gathering. So we're thinking of him too. Thank you, Dwight.
Hey, it's been a pleasure.
Okay.
As always.
Oh, thanks. And as long as we had the Willapaw area talked about, here's a little music from Willapa Hills, and then get ready for Catherine Clare.
Rain falls down in Montana, BC, and Idaho.
Idaho. Idaho.
It will find its way down the mountain to the valley below.
Valley below. Valley below.
A trickle, a stream, a river till it reaches. ranchers and our farmers are struggling as well.
Struggling as well.
But with our hearts and our hands, we will protect. Let me be specific. This is the region they call Columbia Pacific.
Columbia.
Cannon Beach. Seaside. Astoria.
Browns Me.
Westport. Cross the ferry to Puget Island. Calf, Lamets, Kamakaway, Grays River, Deep River, Nacelle, Willapa Bay, the Long Beach Peninsula, Iwako, Chinook,
Astoria.
The Lewis and Clark Expedition, every man, woman, and
Jean-Baptiste.
When they paddled past Kamakaway, they thought they saw the ocean and cried out, oh, the joy. We who live here agree, and for very good reason. You see, we live, love, and play in the Columbia Pacific region.
Columbia.
It's sunshine and rain in the Columbia Pacific region.
Columbia.
Yeah, the Columbia Pacific region. That was written by Sunrise Fletcher. And what you just heard was Willapa Hills, just perfect for Wintergreen. Robert Michael Pyle's book all about Willapa Hills. And by the way, in addition to tonight at the library, he'll be reading, that's at 7:30. He'll also be reading on Wednesday, 6 p.m. at Nacelle Timberland Library, and Saturday the 13th, 2 p.m. at Time Enough Books. Saturday is not the 13th. We have just determined Saturday is the 14th, but I'm sure it's somewhere in there. And that's at 2 p.m. at Time Enough Books. We'll get that straightened out and get it on the radio for you. I tell you, there's so much going on. So actually, Bob wrote that out from Coast Weekend. Well, they got the date wrong, so we'll figure it out. Okay. So my next guest is the fabulous Catherine Clare, and I am so delighted that you are here. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Carol.
You have had quite a bit of adventure recently,
I have.
Like all over the world. I was reading this. You were in Europe from September 24th, I wrote this down, till October 25th. Okay, that's a good month. That's mm-hmm. nice. However, and you were hanging out with the lasses.
Yes, I
love that. That's sweet. I saw them with you here. And then you came home. Okay, so you got home on the 25th of October.
I actually got home on the 29th.
29th? Yes. Oh, my God.
I just worked till the 25th.
Oh, my goodness. And then on the 9th of November, you left for Japan.
I did. It was quite a whirlwind.
I know. And you had to clear your palate, your brain, kind of shake out a little bit.
There's... And my creative space in Portland, Oregon that I've had sold. And the town storage studios, that building sold. So when I got home, I had to finish moving out of that. So it was quite a interesting transition and back out on the road.
You mean between Europe and Japan? Yeah. You moved out of your space of how many years? Okay. It's a good thing you're young.
Right. Relatively.
Relatively, right.
It's all relative.
Exactly. Absolutely. So you are doing a show tomorrow evening, not tonight, but tomorrow evening. And the bad news for those of you out there is that...
From Bob.
Yes. Okay, we got that straightened out. It was Sunday, not Saturday. Sunday the 13th in Iwako at Time Enough Books. Bob Pyle will be reading. So, Okay, now, Catherine, your show tomorrow night, those who have bought their tickets are lucky, and the rest of you are up the creek because it's sold out.
It is.
Now, folks, this is a lesson to be learned. This is Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach, Washington. And they have a website, and it is very thorough. And they also sell tickets in advance. I think that's with brown paper.
Yeah,
brown
I'm
paper tickets.
Sure.
So here's a lesson to you that because Catherine's going to be there with Dawn Henson, who is a trip and a half. I wonder what color his hair will be this time. I just love him. So, and then you are doing a workshop.
I am.
What's that about?
I'm doing a songwriting workshop tomorrow morning at the Peninsula Arts Center from 10 to noon. And I've done this before a couple of times, and it's been such a great experience. There's a really incredible community of songwriters in that area mm-hmm. around here and that have sort of been connected to the Peninsula Arts Center. And they've put on a songwriting contest. And
oh, right.
So... A lot of people come with songs already, ready to go. And but it's completely open to beginners at any level and any state that you have a song in.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it along. I actually am very excited because I have a few songs that are in varying states of being finished. So I plan to share one of mine.
Nice. And the process.
On the process, and we do some exercises and talk about it, and then we'll workshop for the second hour, just helping people.
Fantastic. So that's at 10 a.m., 10 to noon tomorrow.
Yes.
And, this is a terrific opportunity, really. That's wonderful that you offer that because, again, rank beginners can come and find out that maybe that little dream they've been having might be possible.
Absolutely.
So, and it's not to mention folks who are accomplished, which, as you say, we have many. Well, I would love to hear one of your songs. Have you been writing? Have you had any time to write? What the heck?
I have, actually. I'm getting ready. I'll go into the studio on Monday, and I'm finishing a new original album. And I've been in the process of working on it, writing it with the band for the last year. I've been writing. Some of the songs are even a little bit farther back than that. But I decided to come back to it after this fall of travel
mm-hmm.
and to really record as much of it as possible, just live with the band. So I'm really excited. We'll be
so this is your original material.
Yeah, everything is original. So
and who's in the band?
Dawn Henson,
of course,
on piano and percussion, and Alan Hunter on bass, who mm-hmm. I toured with in both Japan and Europe this fall,
mm-hmm.
and Zach Borden on mandolin.
He's here all the time
He's amazing.
I think you've brought a lot of people this way, and they love it here, so they keep coming back.
They do.
I want to. Tell you too that I loved the concept of you taking your grandfather's fiddle back to Holland, and it's been nearly 80 years.
Yeah, it was so profound. And I'll be playing both of his fiddles tomorrow night for the concert, but that one I have restored. And it was just a really wonderful experience, and it was great to share it. A lot of the community concerts that I did with the lasses were in small villages where the whole village would come out.
Mm.
And I think it was a great story to share.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It brings us all together, as music is wont to do.
That's true.
Okay, Catherine Clare with a song. What are you going to give us?
I'm going to sing you a new song, and I'll be recording this for the new album. But this is a song inspired by traveling in Europe from my first tour there. And I'm very enamored with how people greet each other in Europe with the kisses. So I mentioned that in the song.
Nice.
I'll admit it's time to leave. I'm needed away from here. It was great my dear, but I have to run. It was so fun. We'll do it again. A kiss on the cheek, that's how they know where we've been. We've been far, far away. Couldn't we stay? Teach me that lesson just one more time. I've almost got the answer, almost memorized the line. Ask me that question, don't let me lie. I'll tell you the truth, I'll look you straight in the eye. At least I'll try. There's time to sit with it all. I am not ready to fall. I wanna fly and catch a piece of that sky. I wanna fly, and from this height there's no cars, there's no crowds. It's hard to tell the mountains from the clouds. A certain moment of peace before we release. Teach me that lesson just one more time. I've almost got the answer, I've almost memorized the line. Ask me that question, don't let me lie. I'll tell you the truth, I'll look you straight in the eye. At least I'll try.
Lovely, thanks. Lovely, lovely. Catherine Clare, she's doing she's offering a songwriting workshop tomorrow morning from 10 to noon at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach, right there on the highway, 504, I believe it is the address, Pacific. And tomorrow night's concert is sold out, but watch her. What's your website?
KatherineClareMusic.com.
That's pretty easy. That's KatherineClareMusic.com. Okay. We're out of time, Catherine.
Thank you, Carol.
So much for coming in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
And I do want to let you know, folks, we only have a minute, but tonight, Astor Street Opry Company opens Scrooge in Astoria. And watch for Maxine Crook. It's a gas. I mean, it's a really funny performance. Friday and Saturday at 7. The Coaster is offering Once Upon a Mattress Friday and Saturday at 7:30. Starving Artist is this weekend, 7 to 10 tonight. It's all at the Armory. Tomorrow is 10 to 6. Sunday is 11 to 4, 50 to 60 artists. Also this weekend, Astoria Winter Market at Pier 11 till 8 o'clock tonight, and Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 4. Cannon Beach Chorus, 7 o'clock tonight at the Community Church. And Sunday at Peace Lutheran in Astoria at 3. Columbia River Maritime Museum has their Friday event. Seaside High School Winter Musical Review Friday and Saturday at 7. Birkenfeld Theater, Kathy Boyd and Phoenix Rising. And Adrift has their fabulous lineup every day. Saturday, Nehalem Bay Gift Fairs. There are three of them. Bay City Arts Center Irish Christmas at 6. This is tomorrow night. Music at 7. Bayside Singers, 2 o'clock at Ocean Park Lutheran Church tomorrow. Nutcracker, of course, at Astoria High School, 2 and 7, Sunday at 2. Crab Pot Christmas Tree at 5 in Ilwaco. Suomi Lutefisk, good luck, 1 to 4. It's a great time, though. Really is. And Seaside Providence Festival of Trees. Seaside Art Walk is 5 to 7. Gearhart is 2 to 5. Bonnie Henderson's going to be at Beach Books at 5. And Green Cab Collective Forest Grove Artists will be there also at Beach Books. Art and Antique Walk in Ocean Park at 10 a.m. Alternative Gift Market at the Pine Grove in Manzanita at 10 to 4. Southwester is featuring Drew Victor. Seaside Library, Dorota Haber Lehigh Botanical Greeting Card Class. Lindsay Straw, 6 o'clock at the Shelburne. Gala is featuring Golden Donna, electronic solo project of Joel Shanahan and indie duo Miche, and they're fun. Oh, my gosh. Sunday, Columbia River Maritime Museum Family Program, Napa High School, the homecoming at